Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. This is Herpy Monsters Sunday Show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwen Holden-Berry. And we're all over the country. I think most of us are getting some kind of storm this past weekend through the next few days. It's a little crazy. I saw where a crane went down in Texas, in Dallas today. That's kind of scary. But we're here for our weekly review of progressive politics. And we're glad you're joining us. Hi, Jack.
Hello, Gwen. Good to hear from you again. Good to be here.
Wayne, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm right here, ripping and raring.
There we go.
So this week was another escapade with the travels of Trump. And I did think it was important to bring up one thing, Jack, you were asking before we went on air. And I don't know if you have, but I figure all of us had family who participated in World War II.
Oh, yes.
No, yeah.
My father was part of a ghost army. He didn't land until August. He was part of the armored infantry, what he called cavalry of the Third Army. And they landed in August on, I believe it was, Omaha Beach, what they called Omaha Beach.
Oh, my. Yeah, August.
He was back in England with the rest of the battalions providing cover for the actual D-Day invasion. So you know who his general was.
Oh, yes. You know, my father was in the Army Air Corps, and he was not a ball turret gunner, but he was another lower gunner, and they got shot down over Romania on a bombing run on their 20th mission. Their last mission, they got shot down, and they fell between, they crash landed, but everybody was fine. One guy, I guess, broke his leg, a Jewish fellow, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. Anyway, they landed in a field, a farmer's field, and the farmer was caught right between the Russians who were advancing and the Germans who were already there. And so the farmer was very afraid of housing some Allied troops. So what he did is he turned them over to the Germans. So they marched this my father and his whole troop, the whole aircraft group, all the way to Munich. And then they put him in a concentration camp, a POW camp, for about the last 6 weeks of the war. So that's how he spent his last 6 weeks of the war. And the one fellow who had broke his leg, his name was Mo Feigenbaum. He was from New York, and he was a Jewish fellow. And the Germans found out he had a sore leg or something. He'd broke it or twisted it or something, and so the Germans started stomping on it. It was just a hideous, terrible thing to do, especially at that point in the war. My God, how heartless can people be? I guess you got to have kind of a Trump mentality to do stuff like that. Not that Trump would do that, but
the teabaggers. And here, let me share my story. Dad's youngest brother landed on D-Day on the Normandy beaches.
Wow.
And he survived.
Yes, he was one of the. But here's the real story. Then after he fought across France for several weeks, and they were moving inland, then they just said they were going to put him in a quiet area so that these men could decompress. They put him in a quiet area called Ardennes Forest.
Oh yes.
He is one out of his whole company that survived the Battle of the Bulge.
Wow.
And was. Had some kind of divine overseeing, made sure that he stayed alive because that man went through hell twice.
Yeah, my God. You know, that Ardennes Forest is right on the Belgian border, I understand.
Right.
And it's very thickly vegetated. And they thought there would be no way any tank-based army could pass through it, but the Germans found a way to do it, and they caught the Allies completely by surprise for the Battle of the Bulge for a few days till the weather cleared, and then they were able to bomb them.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, the worst winter that they had had in like 100 years with snow and stuff, my uncle said that, you know, those that were killed were really, as the artillery shells were coming in, they were striking the trees because it was heavily wooded. And basically, as the trees exploded and the splinters were coming down, they were basically, these large trees were stapling the men into the ground.
Oh, my God.
That's what was the artillery shell burst of the trees.
That's a real freak of nature.
He really wouldn't talk about it, but he'd talk about it with me because I had my time down there in South America.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I said, Uncle Cleo, you've got to tell me what the hell was in your mind. And he said, basically, Wayne, he said, I was so damn cold, I was more worried about losing my feet.
Yeah.
He almost beat the frostbite.
People don't realize 60 million souls were taken out during World War II across this planet. 60 million.
Right.
And I never knew, because I lost my dad when I was 7, but I never knew except that he commanded a couple of tanks for Patton. I never really knew until I looked it up when I was an adult to see what his record was and such. What he had gone through. And then I saw a movie with Brad Pitt called Fury about a tank commander in World War II, and I wept for days. I wept for days.
Well, you know, it's hard for us to fathom. We've been brought up in peaceful times except for our brief stint in Vietnam and a few other little incursions. We have never known war the way that our frontline soldiers knew it in World War II, Korea, and in Vietnam, because most of us have never served over there. Now, Wayne, you had some service time. I didn't myself, but Gwen, you didn't either. So it's totally new to us. So it's very shocking, and I'm sure we'd have a hell of a time dealing with it for many years later if we were faced with such a thing.
But you know, when I hear people, you know, I am against war, and I vote that way too, but I'm not against our military or what it stands for or why it's here. And people forget that the majority of the time what our military does is flies in when there's disasters around this planet and bring in the medical help and the supplies to keep people living. And
yes,
survive.
They're not always constantly bombing people into submission and being aggressors. No, that's a rarity.
But
we
are bombing people as we talk on the radio. Our military is engaged in drone warfare that's unexcusable. I get that. But it does not take away from what happened in the past and especially World War II. It gets up my ass a mile when people start haranguing on the military and what it's always been, yada, yada. No, I'm sorry. There's a place that you stand aside. And if anybody watched some of the, and who of us hasn't seen, I have not been to the graves in Normandy. I've been through Normandy.
Yeah,
I have not been there. And I've seen it, though, many times photographically. And the awe of all of those crosses, it's really a very sacred site.
Oh, yes.
And that's in hallowed ground. I like that term, hallowed ground.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, here was Trump having an interview with all the gravestones behind him in the background, and he just had to make a political interview out of it when it was completely unnecessary. And, you know, that's typical Trump. But, you know, by and large, from what I've seen, the accounts and the speech that he gave was for him, especially for him, was very well done. And he stuck to his script for a change. And that's so rare. And that we need to see a lot more of that rather than less of it.
Well, Jack, just due to the five times Dodger speaking there at the hallowed grave of those who did stand up and serve their country when they were called upon.
Right.
I found very distasteful, and, you know, he had no business even being there in the first place. I don't care if he is the president of the United States. He's a pussy-ass drafter that was, when he was time to call to serve his country, found, well, he found
six,
a doctor to lie five
six
times.
Six bogus deferments that his dad paid for.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No,
so
Wayne, you have every right to say that. You have every right to say that. You serve this country. You're a vet. You can say that. I can say I think he's abominable no matter what he does.
Right.
But you have every right to stand up and say bullshit, and I applaud you for it.
Yes.
I really do.
America, when we were fighting the communists down there and propping up the dictatorship of Pinochet and the military junta of Argentina, we lost three of them down there who I served with. And then D-Day for me, or Veterans Day, or Memorial Day, I think about those three men who, their mothers did not get a chance to see them grow old and have lives.
Yeah.
So, and when you have that five-time draft dog, you're standing up there, you know, giving speeches on the hallowed ground of D-Day's casualties. It's like, it's very distasteful.
I'm sure there are many vets who found it extraordinarily distasteful. And I did, just for my family's sake, I found it distasteful.
Sure.
I mean, you know, we all had family, especially during that war. And even, you know, young people today, whether they're millennial or ex-gen or kids, have grandparents or great-grandparents that served during a time when the world came together. You know, it was dark versus light.
Yes.
And it feels like that kind of an atmosphere gathering around us again. Only it seems like it's hard to pin down, whereas, you know, it wasn't so hard to pin down. And you got to remember, a lot of people backslapped Hitler and said, "Well, we can work with this." Joe Kennedy was one.
Oh yeah, and the royal family, part of the royal family, were
part
big
of the royal
fans
family.
Of Hitler early on.
Right. Yeah, the one that abdicated with
King George or whatever he was. Yeah, King George, I think.
Yeah.
George
VI. You can deal that. In there, that they would be returned back to the throne as king and queen.
Yeah.
You know who else was deferred from service, but I think it was probably very legitimate, was Joe Biden.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was deferred for asthma.
For asthma, well,
yeah.
Which
okay.
can be very serious.
Oh, yeah. It
comes and goes in life, but he was deferred four times.
I didn't realize that, yeah. Well, that is legitimate. You know, asthma can be very debilitating. I mean, it can absolutely
kill you.
The ability not to be able to breathe properly is devastating.
Yeah,
I knew a lady who died. She had asthma her whole life, but she had a severe one, and she died.
Yeah. I knew a girl down the block here years ago that had asthma very badly, and it took her many, many, many years to overcome it as best as she could. So
And then again, I mean, kids who are born today have to go through building up their immune systems once they come into this world. My nephew had asthma as a child, but he grew out of it. I mean, hell, he eats smoke now. He's a firefighter. He had it. It varies.
Yeah, the severity and the degree of it does vary.
But, you know, we were talking about this before, we went on air this week, the Iowa caucuses, who's up and who's down. Of course, Biden is still up, but that's...
Yeah, he's still up, but he's eroding a little bit.
He's lagging. Yeah, he's eroding.
And
so
Sanders
has
eroded quite a bit.
Yeah, a lot.
And Warren's shot up immensely, very high, and that's great.
Yeah, she's on the road constantly. What'd you say, Wayne?
I said, I think people really want younger, fresh blood, different ideas.
Well, I think they also, I think people don't want old white guys, is what I think. I think that a majority of the women in this country and a majority of millennials are thinking, this is not a good thing. We have not had a good run with these old white guys. And it's the Republicans in general. And the more we go on the air, the election season is on, the more I hope we'll talk about the Senate seats that we need to get.
Absolutely. Got to get rid of Mitch McConnell.
Yes, big time.
See anybody coming up to beat him, Wayne.
I know. What can I say? But
let's hope the Democrats draft Ashley Judd and she can run.
Well, the thing is,
get the House or the Senate turned over to the Democrats, so at least it neuters him so he can't have as much power as he has today. If he doesn't have the majority, he can't wield what he's been doing.
That's true.
Well, you're speaking as if the son of a bitch is going to win the next election. I don't think he's going to win the next election a bit.
He is extremely unpopular in Kentucky.
We will wait and see because we don't know what kind of Russian help he's going to get flipping votes in the damn election.
Good point.
They already know Russians have been in the voting machines there in Florida.
Yeah, no, I mentioned that to somebody, to Rick Spizak, who does PNN, was here with me today for a little while, and we were talking about it. And Rick is he's a Bernie supporter, but he's a very big Democratic liberal. He always has been, and puts on a hell of a show at Progressive News Network, and follows us at 7 o'clock here, and he was saying, it's shaking me right to the bone that they've gotten into our election, our election computers and busted them. And then $250 million earmarked for election security, $250 million the Senate Republicans blocked this week.
Typical. They like it because it helped them last time, and they think it's going to help them again. That is unpatriotic. That's anti-democracy.
That's traitor.
That's treasonous. That's right.
It's basically, too, Mitch McConnell has just brought, he's going to run on bringing industry into Kentucky and employing people. Well, it's Russian oligarch industry.
Yeah.
Which is going to profiteering to him, and won't those Kentuckians be real surprised when mostly Russians run into the territory to take those jobs up?
Well, they'll have that constipated turtle to thank for that.
Yeah, but it's just incredible that he's getting away with this. I mean, these guys in the Republican seats who've done so much of this destruction of the Republic. I not just vote them out, but pound them down and put them in the clink.
Yeah,
talk
I agree.
About lock
I agree.
Them up.
Yep.
And then William Barr's ongoing drama is just
that guy.
Incredible.
He's so pathetic.
His financial disclosure report. Admits to working for a law firm that represented Russia's Alpha Bank, and for a company who these guys are co-founders, are long-standing business ties to Russia. I mean,
they're all scoundrels, and they ought to all be thrown in out of office and into jail.
He received dividends from the Vector Group. Now that's a Russian company. This is more vital than producing American commerce and supporting home times of ties physically, fiscally. Mm-hmm. The Republicans have been harvesting the oligarch plunder of Russia and the natural resources those oligarchs have taken and the tax. in various schemes of money laundering.
Well, nobody has ever accused
McConnell.
Nobody has ever accused them of being fair players or pro democracy. They say these things, but like most things, it's a lie. It's just a scam.
And they have all these stupid people who say, well, they're business smart. The fuck they're business smart? They have always ridden in, well, they for the last 70, 80 years, they've ridden
yeah.
in on the back of commerce, and they've despoiled and plundered the country.
And as far as Trump being a big businessman goes, give me a break. The son of a bitch has declared bankruptcy on four separate occasions, and that's not a good business move. It's a move of a guy that doesn't know what he's doing but just wants the world to believe that he does know. He has no clue.
He's nothing more than a con man, a confidence man.
Yeah, con man.
You know, played so many people with his, you know, ignorance and his con job.
Well, he's made $100 million. He's made $100 million bucks since he's been in office.
Accreditations. What the hell is he doing calling himself Trump University when there wasn't one degreed individual?
Yeah. It was a big scam. It was for publicity, Wayne. That's all he cares about is having his name in the public and being noticed. That's a hallmark of a very insecure, stupid man.
Well,
he's made $100 million. He's made $100 million bucks since he's been in office, and probably
emollients, please, emollients, emollions.
Oh, they're trying to tear that down too. They're trying to tear down the ethics office. This is what their big agenda is this next week. The Republicans in the Senate to tear down the ethics office. That's
well. I hope somebody runs a big filibuster and slaps that effort down big time.
You know, and what the heck is Pelosi thinking right now after Trump has goaded her for the last 48 hours with all this BS and calling her the nastiest things in the world?
Yeah.
I mean, when are the freaking Democrats going to stand up and fight?
Well,
you know,
she's employing a very fruitless strategy. I don't think it's going to work for her. I think it's, and as a matter of fact, my next post is going to be devoted to that. Who's right, Warren or Pelosi on this impeachment question? And it's hard to follow her logic. It's very obvious she does not want to lose her majority, but I don't think she's in any danger of it, to be honest with you.
I don't either, but she has to either – she's got to quit playing that politic and stand up for the people.
Exactly.
Of this country.
I agree.
Or she's
– the difference between now and in the Nixon days is that or in the Clinton days when he was impeached and nearly driven from office is that he was a very, very popular president. Even among people that didn't like him, they respected his knowledge because he was a knowledgeable guy, and they didn't like maybe some of his tactics or his liaisons with women and all that stuff. But by and large, he was very popular. You cannot say the same thing of Trump, not even close.
The liaison with women. At least he had a willing partner. Trump's been paying for prostitutes.
Oh yeah,
underage. You know, come on.
The only person on the Democratic roster for presidency that is not backing up the call for impeachment is Biden.
You know, that's incredible. I'm disappointed, really, to be honest with you.
He's talking about making it all set the way it always has, and that just isn't good.
No, that's not good at all.
He's plagiarized climate plans from other old documents that were kept up by the government. He backtracked on the Hyden thing because he saw the rollout from Warren saying what she did in the town.
That was
a
big blow away this week that he changes his tune on the Hyde Amendment. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's done this. He's blundered through campaigns how many times? This is the third time out.
Right.
He's blundering.
He's lost because he's blundered. He's a corporate bagman. Just because he was a good VP with Barack Obama, or because he really is a very nice man, he really is.
Right, right.
It doesn't negate the fact that as a politician, he's been go along to get along.
Right.
Right.
And that's
and I think
not good
we
enough.
Well, you need a certain amount of that. You've got to have the right amount, though. You can't just dig in your heels and say, no, we can't ever have that. No, that's not the way the world works. But on the other hand, you can't be a doormat. You can't be a doormat like some people are.
What do you think the Democrats have been for the last 20 years? I think they've been one big friggin' doormat myself.
Thank you, Gwen.
You know, even Obama. He just said, "Well, I'm not going to rock the boat because they'll start really."
Yeah, he was much too tame. I've always criticized him for that.
Yeah, and then to leave office without kicking up a fuss about the Russian interference—that really, I'm very disappointed in that.
Yeah.
Overall, he was a fabulous president, but he didn't do what he could have done. Of course,
exactly.
When you're married to the ruler of the world, though. <You know>. Which he is. There's no doubt about that. If Michelle Obama throws her support behind any one candidate, especially before primary, that's it. All over. All she wrote. Which I doubt she will do. I doubt she will throw
her support
anywhere.
She's been fairly silent about it, and so has he, for that matter.
He's been real silent. I think what he'll do is wait till the primaries are over, and then he'll throw his support out.
He'll take the safe route. You know, he doesn't have to do that anymore. But that's his modus operandi.
Yeah, it is.
That's too bad, though.
It is. It really
is. We need
less
people. We need people with courage, not people who want to play the safe route.
Well, that's Nancy Pelosi. She's a brilliant woman. She's quite a strategizer. Nobody probably could beat her at chess in this room. But the fact is, she's playing with safe cards. What she thinks is a safe strategy, and that just doesn't go. And basically what's going to happen is it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out at all. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, she's going to have to find that out, and let's hope we don't get too many victims in the meantime before she finally comes to her senses. And, you know, the time is ticking away steadily here, and today is the 9th? It's 2 weeks and 2 days till the very first debate starts, and I can't wait.
Give him money.
The 25th and the 26th, I believe, are the debate dates, or 26th and 27th, I can't remember, but I will be glued to the screen on those.
Hello.
Yeah.
Right here.
I'm sorry, I got muted.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Had a little moment there. Certainly, you guys could fill in the gap.
Well, yeah. And we were just saying about the debates are about ready to start. A little over 2 weeks, and they'll be on, and I can't wait. The first two rounds. And you know.
Here's that.
That will be a very good pair of evenings, because that will definitely thin out the ranks a little bit, because some of these people that are clinging on to 1% and 2% and 3%, I don't see them catapulting to the finish line with that kind of support level, which is very minimal. So they'll definitely fall off the vine, I think, which will be fine. You know, save them for another time.
I wonder how many candidates will hang in there, though. What's your guess on that?
Well, it's hard to tell, and we don't know what will happen during the debates either, or how they're going to be conducted. We really don't know. And there are so damn many people. How can anybody make a point when there are that much competition? How it's, you know, you short of standing on your head and jumping around like a top or something, how the hell can you get any notice or anything? You know, the people, they've got to hit the road like they've been. A lot of them have been doing, like Warren's been doing and Buttigieg has been doing, and a lot of people. And I don't think if you play it safe, it's going to work in your favor. That's why I think Biden shouldn't just sit there. If he wants to really get the nomination, he's got to earn it. He can't just assume that it's his. Hillary made that assumption too, that it was hers to get, and it cost her. You can't be complacent. You got to dig in all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I also think that I happen to think the state of Florida and the state of Pennsylvania really kicked the crap out of the Republicans there, kicked the crap out of the legal voting, if you get my drift.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well,
and
that's
there's
been
plenty
part
of
the,
other issues that have been going on this week, too.
Yeah.
Besides that, it's the beginning of gay pride, and the reaction from the White House has been extraordinarily poor. They've, for the last 15 years, they've hung the flag outside of all our embassies, and
What about the embassies, Gwen?
The embassies are refusing to fly our flags outside. Well, I'm sorry, guys. The landlord showed up, and we had to deal with that. I'm trying very hard to stay online here.
Oh, yeah.
The embassies were told not to fly the gay pride flag, which they have done through all our embassies all over the world for the last, 15 years.
Yep.
Right.
And then yesterday at the Gay Pride March in Washington, D.C., there was a big scare. Somebody had a handgun.
Right.
And one person said, oh, my God, shots are fired. And it started a stampede.
Oh, it started a panic, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank goodness that didn't occur. But, you know, it's just
yeah,
the very thought of
really
it is enough to make people run.
Yeah, nobody really got seriously injured. Yeah,
yeah,
and no one got seriously injured, which is, you know, really a good
That's
thing,
good.
A very
yeah.
good thing. But
we've been too engaged for way too long now in attacking certain groups and certain people. You know, we're attacking the wrong people. We've got to be attacking the people who really are the enemy, and that's the establishment, yeah. the corrupt establishment that Donald Trump is a big part of, and his Republican Party, including Mitch McConnell and people like that, and Lindsey Graham, his little apologist now. You know, it's funny to see how Lindsey's changed so much over the years. 3-4 years ago, when he was in the thick of the Republican primary, Trump was his bitter enemy. Now he's kissing his ass. Every time you turn around, he's got something kind to say about Trump. The guy has no soul.
Yeah, he sticks up for him. Basically, you're right. He has no soul. He's just incredibly...
He's spineless. He's absolutely
yeah.
spineless. I've never cared much for Lindsey Graham anyway. He's
Whoever has, but the
no,
fact
he's a,
was...
He's a wimp. He's a wimp.
Was he that he was supposed to be, you know, one of John McCain's closest friends and allies, and...
Yeah.
During his funeral, he snuck Jared and Ivanka into the funeral at the last minute, saying, "You don't mind, do you?" to Cindy McCain. The McCain family
oh.
will never forgive him
and,
for that.
And yeah, what the hell were they doing there in the first place, anyway? Who the hell are they? How utterly insane!
Right, but they had
typical
to sit there.
Typical Trump
they
bullshit.
They had to sit there through Meghan McCain's eulogy. Which I think was pretty, pretty awesome that she, they had to sit there for that.
She did a great job during that, no doubt.
Yeah.
But what was Donnie and Megan and Ivanka and Jared doing there? That Jared is such a little. He's such a little. What a little femme. I can't stand that guy. What a wimp.
Yeah.
He's been untitled little rich boy that has been taught that, by the way, the rules really don't apply to us. It applies to all those other little people. We can piss on them.
Yeah. Well, he did an interview for Axios over in Britain when they first got there.
Right,
that turned out to be a real shot in the can for him.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, he's barely...
I almost vomited through the whole thing. I couldn't stand the guy just sitting there. He's so naive, and he's so complacent, and he's such a suck-ass. I can't stand that guy, even a little bit. I've never liked him.
Well, he's barely business credible, okay? Really. I mean, guys like this, the only thing you want from them, if you're going to do business with them, is to know what you can get from them.
There you go.
I mean, I've seen that kind of business person before, and it's just, I don't care for that kind of people. It always messes with my head knowing that people I know can deal with folks like that. And, you know, say, well, it's business, and so we move along. You know, it's like, well.
He's just a big stuffed Cupid doll is all I can see. He's absolutely worthless. Worthless to everybody.
I agree. Incredibly
except
so.
Ivanka and Donald, you know, who knows. But what a corrupt family. They're a horrible family. Their values are absolutely
they're selfish.
Abysmal.
These are selfish, selfish people, and most of the Republicans who are doing what they're doing right now reflect the same kind of inner gelatinous crud.
Right.
It's just selfishness. It's a cancer on the community that they're in.
Good point.
And they have no. Then there was this gal, who in. I guess it was Texas, who tweeted and thought her tweet was going to be in Fort Worth, Texas. She tweeted the president that she's a teacher in a high school over in Texas, and she tweeted that the majority of her students were undocumented. Now, she tweeted it, and she said, well, that was supposed to be private. Well, Twitter is not private. It goes out. So here's the thing. This is Texas, and the school board met within 24 hours and canned her.
Oh, yeah. I can believe that. That's the way they do things there.
But not one woman.
I think it's fabulous. I think it's pretty fabulous that it happened,
exactly.
You know?
I'm not
going to get a job either. But in Texas, somebody's probably already picked him up because she is really the right-minded type of person we want in our classroom. I'm sure there's that aspect down there, too.
Well, the end of this week, too, was a pretty good thing because the House voted to hold William Barr in contempt over the Mueller report.
Very good. What a charlatan.
Now on this criminal activity. And that's what it is. It's nothing more than criminal activity.
You know, and to think we're paying for that bastard with our tax dollars. You know, it's infuriating that we have to pay for such absolute degradation. It's just bullshit.
You know, Trump has always wanted his name in the paper and and he ran that full page ad about what he called the Central Park Five so long ago.
And then he wouldn't retract it when it was disproven. That's typical too.
Right. And basically what happened was this week, first week of June, Netflix came out with a series that explored and you know, revealed that whole thing. It's called When They See Us, and you can't sit back and watch that without shedding tears and understanding just how a community can turn vicious with a few flags from the wrong end of the arena. You know, just a few people, how they can make things vicious, like Trump and a few others.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the guys, Roger Baldwin, received the Courage Award on behalf of the director of that that series, Ava DuVernay. And she has done some wonderful film work in the last couple of years. It's the ACL's annual Social Responsibility and Media Award. And I thought it was extraordinary what he said with tears when he accepted. Instead of saying, because they don't like being called the Central Park Five. And what he said was, I am one of the exonerated five.
Oh,
which
good.
I thought was a spectacular
perfect
thing to say.
Perfect, yeah.
Because basically Trump put a bounty on their heads.
Yeah.
And that's just despicable.
Isn't that a vigilante kind of aspect illegal?
That's a Ku Klux Klan kind of aspect.
Yeah. Anything for a headline. Anything for a headline, you know?
Yeah, but you got to remember, too, that basically, you know, I mean, Fred Trump was a Klan member.
you think
Donnie wasn't indoctrinated?
Yeah.
I mean, nice people, especially in let's say, upper-class restaurants and clubs and whatnot, they don't care for him. They don't join his clubs. You know who belongs to his clubs? Politicians.
Wannabes.
Bootstrappers that have made new money, as they say.
Yep.
The people who represent the real elite of this country in the fiscal district won't have anything to do with him because he's such a piece of garbage.
Yeah, he's
right.
Well, he's a criminal. Let's face it. Let's call it the proper name. The guy is a criminal. He's a scheming criminal.
30 years of money laundering for the Russian mob and oligarchs.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd call
That's
him
right.
exactly that.
Like I said in a recent blog, it's high time that we shut down the Trump Kushner laundromat. That's what's been going on.
Well, you know, the New York Times has played to him a lot over his career. They've given him a lot. They've been printing a lot of stuff on him. But, you know, when it comes between the New York Times and the Washington Post these days, I will read the Washington Post first. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, they view Trump still as a local boy in New York, and they'll cater to his cater to him a little bit more than a lot of the other journals.
New Yorkers really don't like him.
They can't
stand
him, but he still grabs headlines. He still demands
demands
attention. You know, and that's the whole thing. That's all they want to do. You know, they want to have as much readership as they can get, so they kind of sacrifice their soul to print shit about that criminal.
Well, he used to have a bed in that office, but I guess that got yanked out from under him, too. But the New York Times did post an article this week that is very worth one of their opinion pieces is very worthwhile to read. It's about what happens when women stop leading like men, but actually what it does is describe the incredible push forward of woman leadership. And they begin, of course, with Ardern in New Zealand. And
in this country, 2018 was just the spark and the big fire, the big blazing blizzard or fire is going to erupt in 2020 and beyond. There's no heading backwards on that. It's going to progress. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that has to happen. I agree. If they saw, and you see too many people using the old craft. But I've been paying attention. I listen to you, Jack, and I have been paying attention to polls more acutely since you gave me a shaking finger.
Well, I'm not a pro poll guy, but they are a gauge. They're one of
many
gauges that can and should be used and not be overlooked necessarily, just to give you an idea of which way the country's headed in. And it all depends on the individual poll, how the questions they ask, how they phrase the question. You know, you can put a fake poll together too, and guarantee you exactly what you want to get for a result on it by just simply manipulating the type of questioning that you have.
Yeah.
You've got to look at the polls and the question that was asked and determine from that what the results were and whether they're valid or invalid or, you know, why.
Agreed. And you've got to wonder what their polling group looks like too.
Sure.
Because they're gathering this from the registered voters that are being released by certain political affiliations, you know?
Right.
I mean, if you were just polling everybody that joined MoveOn.org, you'd be getting a crazy poll that told you everything was coming up roses for the Liberals and the Democratic Party, right?
You're right, exactly, yeah.
But too often I've seen where Quinnipiac and a few others look like they're polling nothing but Republicans.
Yeah, I've noticed that over time too, and I'm glad you brought that up because that's why you've got to look at each individual poll and the questions that are asked and who they're asking. What is their sample size? How big is it? And who exactly are they asking? What age groups? What ethnic groups? What demographics are they using? And all of that enters into it, and you've got to make a critical judgment over the validity of the poll based on that criteria.
Yeah, I think they should have that in some kind of brackets at the top of their pages online, you know?
Well, they usually do specify it somewhere. We ask so it's such and such and this and that and the other thing and group by group and all that stuff, but not always. That's why every individual's poll is different. You can't just there's not a major category you can just throw all the polls into because they're all so different.
That's quite true.
Groups put them together, you know. So there are many, many angles to that equation, and you've just got to be on top of which angle is what's prevalent at the time.
Yeah, obviously. Very obviously. There's one other thing that happened I guess I'm not quite sure when it exactly went down because, you know, when they make laws in Rome at the Vatican, it's called a
conclave.
Well, yeah, but it's called codicil is an amendment to a will. They call it a special name, and I forget what it is. But Pope Francis has last month, apparently, and now it's coming out in news. Last month he issued a new church law. Okay, so is it a canon?
A new canon law, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of that, but.
Yeah, that sexual abuse must be reported to church officials, but not to the police, not to the state, not to the secular authorities. That really made me upset. It upset me because I've been looking at Pope Francis as a really, you know,
well, as many pope. I believe as many people as possible should know about it. It should be spread far and wide, and you
it's
shouldn't try to hush it up one way or the other from one group or another. It should come out in public view.
Yeah. Well, he's also made it very clear apparently, in how he wrote it, that he made it mandatory for the Roman Catholic clergy to report cases of clerical sexual abuse and cover-ups directly to his office.
Well, that's probably a step in the right direction. I would agree with that.
I don't know that. When you know that priests are breaking the law and harming children,
well, many of them have
report
many of,
it.
Gwen, keep in mind, many of these in the past, many of these allegations and stuff were just swept under the rug. He wants them reported to himself so that he can supposedly, let's hope, deal with it.
Yeah.
Rather than ignore it or sweep it away.
I'm willing to go there. I know that...
we won't
know
for a while yet, but...
Yeah. I'm willing to go there. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's been such a kind gentleman.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, the truth is, too, he's not the Curia, and you and I both know who runs the Vatican.
It is an elaborate system, and you've got to dot all your I's and cross all your T's to really know what's going on there. And I don't even begin to pretend to know enough, anywhere near enough, to be able to make a judgment on that.
I just am a freak for history and always have been. And
right.
It's the Curia. It's the red hat.
Yeah.
It's the cardinals who make the real. They're the ones who move the magic in the.
Well, they're the institution. They're the institution. That's at times what has given us good people, and at times has given us bad people, and at times it just swept stuff under the rug. So they deserve being publicized and watched.
Yeah, I think so.
Just like any other institution.
Yeah, oversight. That, you mean like the Congress has oversight over the executive branch?
In an ideal world, yeah.
we can ignore laws because we're the president.
Yeah.
Jeez, it's
we can
crazy.
Don't report to these subpoenas.
You know, I just wonder what kind of person will ever again employ Sarah Huckster Slanders or Kellyanne Conjob once Trump's out of the White House. Who the hell's going to want to hire those lying scoundrel blind idiots, you know?
Yes, but they are called lobbyists. That's who will be glad to have them in their office.
Oh, yeah, they'll be lobbyists. That's about it, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And they'll get paid very well because they have the connections, and they did a good job lying for that disaster.
Yeah, that's disgusting,
well,
isn't
if,
it?
What if we elect a Congress and a Senate that abhors the lobbying? If Elizabeth Arden or...
I think it's so dug in over there, Gwen. I don't think we're going to have much success in that regard, although that is something we should work very hard for.
That's one of the things that Elizabeth Warren is for, is getting rid of the lobbying. She is for getting rid of the lobbying. And, of course, lobbyists, not all of them are yay-hos. A lot of lobbyists are very helpful to the Congress in bringing the facts to bear.
Absolutely.
About the country. But because
someone's a lobbyist does not mean they're presenting tilted facts that are skewed in their own favor. They're going to present naturally. They're not going to argue against themselves, but they're going to present useful information in most cases. Not always, but in most cases, it will be useful information that can be used properly to hopefully guide the particular representative or senator
Warren,
in the correct direction.
Warren actually has a plan for that. She's like all for putting the interns in charge of the lobbyists in the congressional and Senate offices. So
some of those lobbyists
that...
could run circles around those interns. So. I'm not too. Keep in mind, a lot of those interns are very green. They're barely out of school, some of them, and you know, I would hate to entrust anything major to somebody that young without some supervision.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been around congressional and senatorial interns, and a majority of the ones that I've come around have always been really bright, right on top.
Oh,
of
they
them.
Are. They are very much so. But that
they
doesn't mean they're all that worldly and knowledgeable about the way things work.
Well, that's true. It's their
that's
job
the
to
practical knowledge
back.
I'm talking about.
It's their they job to
easily missed by well-thinking, honed lobbyists.
Well, I don't know about that. I'll tell you, some of those kids. Some of those kids will just they'll pull the rug out from under some of them too. I mean, they're not all they're not all that green.
They're not all naive idiot people. No, a lot of them are very smart, but they haven't been exposed to as much as certain lobbyists have, who've been through it all over and over and over and over again for decades. You know, there's no
right.
There's no comparison against experience when it comes to somebody green and somebody who's experienced.
Well, depending on the experience and the person, but you know, majority of lobbyists started out as interns in Congress or in the Senate somewhere
sure.
in Washington.
But they were there for many years, and they've seen a lot of tricks and a lot of meandering.
In fact, all interns are not they go from intern into office, you know,
into pages and all kinds of things.
Yeah, but
my cousin, who is a very successful attorney of many years now, was a page in the good old days of the Liberal Democrat LBJ days, and went on to law school and did everything in that regard too. And learned a lot by being a page and an intern in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing like it, really. You're right there in the middle of it. We are at the end of the hour, gentlemen.
Well.
And another fun program.
Keep your eyes open, everybody. The best is yet to come, and there's never a dull moment in this crazy criminal Trump family crime syndicate that we're bogged down with right now. We will escape it, but it's going to take some doing, and you've got to keep your eyes and ears open. There's no doubt about it. So in the meantime, I'm just going to urge everybody to keep your eyes open, your ears open, and keep pushing forward. You can't do it by pushing backwards. You got to keep pushing forward.
Absolutely, Jack. Very well stated.
Yep.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Gwen. Thank you, Wayne.
And thank you.
Absolutely. And good luck to us all.
Yeah, good luck on your move getting settled in this weekend, Wayne.
Yeah.
Jack, I'm looking forward to
Bon chance.
Putting down my roots in Annapolis, Maryland.
That's
very
our
good.
Show for this evening, and we will be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. for another Progressive Roundtable. I am putting the information out that if you're listening in, always remember, and you'll find it on all our postings, the call-in number, because we will take calls. This has been the Sunday Show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwendolyn Holden-Berry, and we hope you'll tune in next week. Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen, and be sure to look at the Saturday Afternoon Post this next week. There's going to be a lot of good activity on it. So.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, and have a great weekend, everybody, and a very wonderful week.
Stay safe.